Everyone, welcome back to the Be More podcast, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem. For today's session, we are talking Be More Product Manager with Xavery. And so without further ado, Xavery, are you able to introduce yourself for our audience, please?
So my name is Xavery. I'm a product manager or head of product management at Elements Cloud. I've been in the Salesforce ecosystem and in the product management role both for roughly just over 7 years now, or something around 7 years now. Yeah, it's been definitely a very exciting journey.
So maybe there's some people listening to this episode and they're not quite sure what a product manager is. Are you able to break that down for our audience?
So first, let me say that in my day-to-day capacity and set of responsibilities, I am not responsible for managing our company's org. What I am responsible for, however, is building our commercial product for Salesforce customers, which includes also some managed package elements or managed multiple packages. Yep. So I'm very still part of the, let's call it, Salesforce ecosystem, but my experience is definitely somewhat different than that of, let's say, a Salesforce admin or a BA. Yep. Or an architect, at least in this traditional sense, when they are responsible for a particular org or set of orgs, but for a particular company or organization. I actually have a very good friend at work, Jack, who's actually our head of operations, and he wears the hat of our platform owner or org owner, the highest Salesforce kind of decision maker. We have many times over the years, talking to each other, sharing experiences, said that there is one fundamental difference between what I would call a commercial product manager, even in a Salesforce ecosystem, and that of a platform owner or any other role really in a Salesforce ecosystem. And that is, a platform owner can, that their target audience are the end users, or in other words, the employees of an organization. Mm-hmm. However, the audience of a product manager, commercial product manager, I'm just going to add this adjective, yeah, in there, is your the audience is actually not employees of a particular company, but whatever the target market is, but across many different companies. And that creates one fundamental issue, which is, if you're a, let's say, a platform owner and you want to understand in what direction your org should be developing, let's say as a strategy, yeah, and strategic roadmap, or maybe you even as a BA or an admin, you're trying to understand what specific, like how the sales app should work, right? Or maybe what the opportunity pipeline should really be. Then on one extreme, you could say, well, there's technically only one person you need to maybe talk to, which would be the head of sales or whoever is in charge of that.
Yeah,
that's a bit extreme, but defensible. And mm-hmm. Arguably, you could go, maybe you should talk to every member of the sales team to figure out, not just what the boss wants, but also all the quirks and other things that the other team members need or want as well. But if you have 10 salespeople on your team and you talk to all 10 of them, you have spoken to 100% population of your audience. Now, the product manager is different because I can talk to 50 potential customers from 50 different organizations, and they all work differently. They all have different processes. They all may be in different countries facing different regulatory situations. So no matter how much research you do, there is a strong element of it might not be representative of your target audience in general. So I think the product manager, unlike some of these other Salesforce roles, especially if you're building a commercial package, commercial product on Salesforce, there is definitely much more, I don't want to say guesswork, but much more betting. You have to sometimes go, just take a bet, and maybe there's making the best educated guesses you can make on what should be done. The requirements are not always as clear cut as they think are, can be much more when you're dealing with internal stakeholders. Other than that, it's pretty much similar to a platform owner.
How does your role as perhaps more of a commercial product manager than a end user facing product manager, like how does that interact with other roles in your immediate organization? Like, are you ever involved in with admins or developers or consultants, architects? How does that work in a Salesforce context?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way our organization is set up generally is every head of every department, whether that's marketing, sales, product, customer success, has a direct relationship, if you will, with our platform owner. Mm-hmm. And the way we work is we are responsible for our own processes. We are expected, and maybe it's a testament to how well trained we are by our platform owner. Mm-hmm. He whipped us into shape. We don't come to our platform owner necessarily fix it.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen. We are expected to come with, we would like to automate this process or for this to work this way, and this is how it fits into our existing process. I think we were taught to be not like business analysts for ourselves, but to speed up the entire process, to come to our platform owner and actually to the BA with, we know what questions they will ask. We know they will always ask about the process. So we are taught to come with them. Here's our process. And you see this bit over here. That's what we need to change. And this is why we need to change. And could we do this? And so that's how I, let's say, interact with most of my time when we need to customize something is spent with BA, the platform owner. I don't get involved too much with technical implementation. I think the idea is you're the experts, you figure out what works and what is the best Salesforce solution for it. But I'll be very much involved in the making sure the business requirements and the business logic is fleshed out as much as it can be.
Are you responsible for kind of governance around changes as well? Does that fall into your remit too?
Yeah, absolutely. So we generally have a governance model where, different objects, let's say, within our Salesforce org have specific stakeholders. So if you want to make a change on case object, which, because most of the cases we deal with are more technical in nature, I'm a very big stakeholder on that. So as a general rule, case doesn't get changed without me knowing or sometimes being involved in that process. It's not that I have to approve, nor do I want to approve everything, but just being aware. Like, oh, you want to change and do some clever stuff on campaign object? Great. Talk to Leanne. She's there at marketing. She knows her stuff.
And I appreciate there are obviously other tools out there as well, but I'm hoping that you use Elements Cloud for that.
You told me not to do any self-promotion.
I know.
I was very quiet, but yes, we use our own tool because it's a metadata management tool, and we use that to document stakeholders, and that's how we do that. Yeah.
Are you responsible for product management kind of full time for the majority of your working day, or do you have other responsibilities as well?
It's definitely full time, but the role of a product manager, role of a product owner, arguably the role of a business analyst by some extension, that they're extremely similar.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a full-time job, but it's, what does it even consist of? There is definitely an element of stakeholder management. So you're in not necessarily meetings, because it could be email, it could be Slack, but there is definitely a lot of refinement and just making sure you're aligned with everyone and all of that stuff. There's definitely a lot of analysis, right? So that's one thing that I think is common for product managers and BAs, process diagramming. Specifically more on the understanding the process or the user journeys or the jobs to be done, as I think we prefer to call it in the product management world, of how people perform certain tasks and where we can spot opportunities for us to improve it or accelerate it or automate it. Just like a BA would spend time interviewing end users, discovering strengths and what what do you do and how do you do it and why do you do it this way, just to get a full picture. We do the exact same thing. The type of questions we ask are almost exactly the same. It's just we ask them, you know, not internally, but externally to potential users or existing users of the platform. It requires such a varied list of responsibilities, ranging from, you know, the diagramming to mm-hmm. meeting, to interviews, obviously creating tickets for your development team and you know, specifying it in a way that hopefully is understandable. You know, every day is a bit different and a morning is different from the afternoon.
Definitely. And I think that will kind of resonate with quite a few people. No 2 days are ever the same, right? Different challenge every day. Yeah. Okay.
Which I think that's probably what makes those sort of jobs kind of fun, is because it depends on what you like, obviously, because I know some people prefer more of a, you know, stability, but I find that it's very, very rarely boring, because you don't get enough time to get bored with something before you have to do something else. So it's quite fun, actually.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe we can kind of dive a little bit deeper into something you said. When you are interviewing those users of the system, I think it's probably the best way to call it, like, how would you go about constructing your questions?
I'll answer your question. But there's almost your question triggered me to also want to talk about something else in that area. Well, so let me first answer your specific question. So as part of the Salesforce business analysis certification, you know, one of the skills is understanding of universal process notation. I'm a process guy. I look, you know, I go through the airport and I see processes everywhere around me. So I'm beyond saving at this point. But I find having sometimes a UPN box on the side is a very good prompter. I'm not talking about AI, but prompter for me to remember how to ask questions. Because you see, for those who are not familiar, the UPN notation is, you know, you have a box, which is the activity that gets performed. And the arrow coming in is the trigger, or the when does it happen. And if you have an arrow coming out, that's the successful outcome you're trying to achieve. And then you also capture the resources on the box, which specify who is involved. And it's such a simple concept, but if you go interviewing your end user, how would they like to, I don't know, manage opportunity? What's the first thing you would do? Well, obviously, the first thing I would create an opportunity. And let's just focus on that. And usually what happens in interviewing is you could just know, okay, so, and maybe if you have a transcribing software, you know, like Gong or Zoom or Meet, Google Meet also have this these days, even Slack, you know, you don't have to necessarily have to make that note, but the first step is create opportunity. And there is a tendency to jump straight into, okay, so, and what would you do then? Okay, so once I've created it, I would call a customer. And you're already at step two and step three. You know, you're already doing something else. And there is a lot to be said for just slow down. There's no rush. When would you create an opportunity? What is the trigger for you to create opportunity in the first place? Sometimes it will reveal something not maybe super important, like, well, we had a call and, you know, that this happens. And you say, oh, you create an opportunity, right? But what does it actually mean? Do you just create an opportunity which says X, Y, Z? You know, what information do you consider necessary for a good opportunity to be created? I'm sure you had this experience, and many people listening to your podcast had this experience where the quality of the data in Salesforce sometimes is atrocious. So there's then something. So what would creation of like a good opportunity actually be? Well, at the very least, this and that. Okay, maybe a validation then, right? So there's a tendency for us to just go very, very wide and very surface level with questions. What happens then? For any step, anything the user tells you is like, okay, when do you do it? What is the trigger for you to kind of go, I need to do this now? And what is the successful outcome? How would you know that you've done this correctly? My general rule for interviewing would be slow down, always ask, what is the trigger? What is the successful outcome? Who else is involved before you move on to, and what happens next? That way, the picture becomes much, much clearer. The thing that I I find very challenging in my specific role, which is slightly different maybe when dealing internally. A lot of our customers, a lot of our users are Salesforce professionals. We're building platform for them, for the admins, BAs, architects, platform owners. The level of knowledge of Salesforce, it varies quite significantly, which obviously expected. I often come to interviews with, even till this day, with preconceived notions how much people know, and I often am surprised in both ways, that people surprise me by how much they know and really understand, and sometimes you would expect someone to be extremely knowledgeable and realize something not so much.
Yeah.
You need to, and I think it's actually, coming back to your question, it is a thing you need to plan in your interviews, because I think you're an expert, so let me come at you with extremely expert level question full of Salesforce technical terminology, expecting that you will understand, and they look at me like, what language was that? Can we talk English, please? Right, and that's actually a mistake on me. It's there's no necessarily need to ask, and definitely not ask extremely jargon heavy questions until maybe you have validated halfway through the conversation that person is very fluent in that language.
Yeah,
that's maybe a tip.
Yeah, and I can certainly resonate with that. A Salesforce instructor once told me, and maybe this is slightly different, but it was about Salesforce exams. Keep it simple, silly. And it was abbreviated to KISS.
Yes. So
that's how I remember it. And certainly like with exams as well, keep it simple. Don't go for this great, big, complicated solution or option. What's the easiest way and most kind of clicks, not code way to achieve something? So can definitely kind of relate to that on a slightly different level, but totally understand what you're saying there. What tips, advice would you give to those looking to start out in this role?
The good news is that there are so many similarities between being a commercial product manager and a Salesforce business analyst, I think almost specifically, and a platform owner as well. That's actually what I did in the past when I was looking to hire for some the product management roles. Why should I try to hire someone who has maybe product management experience but no Salesforce understanding? I could just try to influence some business analysts to join us on the dark side, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, not only do they already have an understanding of Salesforce, they actually possess almost all of the same skills and are used to almost exactly the same techniques, even the terminology that we use on the product side. Actually, being a BA, being a product manager is almost two sides of the same coin, I would say.
Totally. And I think there's parallels there as well with kind of designers too, because you still talk about user stories, jobs to be done, acceptance criteria, it's all the same, you know? So yeah, there's definitely some parallels there, I think. So if you were starting out in this role again, is there anything you've learned and you think, if you could go back in time, you would do it differently?
If I were to start again, I started tuning in to kind of the announcements and the community, like the previewing the features and when they become available for releases, maybe 3-4 years into the role. And in hindsight, if you get into the habit of really keeping your hand on the pulse of how Salesforce evolves, accumulates value very quickly. So there's maybe a year or two where maybe you feel like you're constantly learning and you're constantly chasing. But there comes a moment where it's like watching moment where actually you go, oh, wow, I actually understand quite a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's the thing with Salesforce, right? It changes so much. It's so huge on one, and it changes quite regularly. And when they change, okay, 3 times a year doesn't seem maybe like that much, but
it
changes quite a lot. Keeping on top of how Salesforce evolves, even if just, you know, it's not about understanding how every necessarily feature works in detail, but just knowing that they're knowing roughly what they're about, understanding the landscape, goes a long way, I found. And also, I think, helps you have a sensible conversation with your devs as well.
I can definitely relate to that. And I think over time as well, you kind of hear about a feature and you kind of almost get attuned to understanding how Salesforce works. So you can almost figure out how it works without reading it, because Salesforce does things a certain way. Like, for example, assignment rules on the case object and the lead object are very similar because they basically work in the same way, you know? So I think there's that kind of element to it as well.
Let me, if I can just very quickly, let me do one shout out. So, mm-hmm. So you know, you and Sam and
Francis,
right? Yes, sorry, I'm very. I had his surname. I forgot his name actually, but yeah, you organized the architect meetups. And I found the meetups, admin architect, whatever, super great for learning things you don't know. But also there's this initiative recently, I think that's Jody Herbeck started, where you have like you on a regular basis, there's a LinkedIn, I think, a group, and there are scheduled events and people demo kind of custom solutions they've built in their Trailhead orgs and demo orgs. Mm-hmm. Also great thing to use to kind of just even learn what's the art of the possible sometimes, because some of the things people come up with is absolutely ingenious and creative.
Yeah, definitely. And I think there's a lot to be said from learning from others, but also learning from others' mistakes as well. Mm. I think that's valuable too, because ultimately we're human, right? We make mistakes. And if you can share your learnings with somebody else, then they can avoid making the same mistake, right? That's certainly what I've learned over time. Yeah. Okay, awesome. So before we do wrap up, is there anything you'd like to change or make people more aware about your role? Like, are there any myths or kind of old wife's tale that you'd like to kind of debunk?
One of the, and that's for product managers everywhere. I think what there's this old saying that the product manager or product owner, as sometimes they were referred to, is like a CEO of the product. No, absolutely not. And that implies that somehow product managers have like sole authority. Yeah, not. I think it's probably more similar to kind of like a platform owner. You may have some authority, but in reality, most of the management is done through influencing, more soft skills, social skills.
Okay, awesome. So thanks for your time today. And hopefully between us, we will inspire some more people to be more product manager.
If I may, to add to your closing statement, because I actually inspire people to be more product manager. I cannot stress enough, Salesforce is such an amazing ecosystem, community, and such a great place to start a career in. But I think what maybe if people are listening to this and I would like them to leave with one thought is their business analyst route, especially in Salesforce ecosystem, has so many transferable skills that people might not realize how lucky they are in that. And with all the training Salesforce provides as well, that you can absolutely pursue a great, successful, fruitful career within Salesforce, specifically as a Salesforce BA, and obviously then potentially become a platform owner and things like that. But equally, those skills make you extremely sexy as a potential employee and allow you to pursue careers adjacent to Salesforce or even outside of Salesforce. And it's definitely something to always be aware of.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the business analyst type skill make the bread and butter of pretty much every role within the ecosystem, really. That's great sound advice. So thanks again for your time. And hopefully we inspire some more people when this goes out.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Tom.
Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments.